This is Corpse Run Radio.
We are the Forsaken. We are the Forsaken.
Hello, darlings, and welcome to Corpse Run Radio. I am your host, Juno, and this is an abbreviated episode 25, or at least it should be, as I'm a little short on time this week, so I'll try to make it quick-ish. I realized that two of my favorite people just had birthdays, so happy birthday to our very own Cameo, who I miss very much, but I know that he's extremely busy with work and life, and hopefully he'll come back to us someday soon. And also to the lovely songbird that we all know and love, Kesha. So, in honor of Kesha, this episode is dedicated to her and is featuring her music.
Happy 21st birthday, Chia!
I am going on a cruise next week, but I'm going to do my best to put out a mini anyway, though it may be lacking audio from yours truly. And with that said, let's just get started. Sorry it's a little rushed, and I hope that you all have a great week. We're starting out with a song, of course, by Kesha, written by the wonderful Rowan of Moongard, called Grind to Nan. Then we have Asmongold with Will Legion Need Another Number Squish? Then Doron's Movies with Xavius Lore, and then an excerpt from Wowhead Weekly number 65, and another Kesha song, this one written by her friend Moon, and it's called Mana Pots. Off we go, darlings.
I wanna fly. Need to grind. Stuff I need to find. It never ends for grinding rep. All this pain for what we get. Need oil too. Fuck these dailies too. I'm turning blue. All this time that I have lost. Get my stuff but at what cost? I don't wanna grind 10 and I just wanna have some fun. So sick of Apex of Shards. Raiding is no longer hard. Getting upgrades for my ring. Rather do some time walking. I don't wanna grind 10 and I just wanna have some fun. I don't wanna grind 10 and I just wanna have some fun. So sick of Apex of Shards. Raiding is no longer hard. Getting upgrades for my ring. Rather do some time walking. I don't wanna grind 10 and I just wanna have some fun. Treasure chests and get new pets. Is it over yet? All this crap they make us do. Listen to me now, QQ. I don't wanna grind 10 and I just wanna have some fun. So sick of Apex and Shards. Raiding is no longer hard. Getting upgrades for my ring. Rather do some time walking. I don't wanna grind 10 and I just wanna have some fun. Hunting rares, dead when I get there. This isn't fair. I'll never get the loot I want. Stop it now, I've had enough. I don't wanna grind 10 and I just wanna have some fun. So sick of Apex of Shards. Raiding is no longer hard. Getting upgrades for my ring. Rather do some time walking. I don't wanna grind 10 and I just wanna have some fun. I
Sup, y'all? It's me, it's your boy, Asmin Gold, and today I figured I'd talk to you guys about something that I found to be more pressing and more important the more that I played the Legion Alpha, which is, I guess for lack of a better term, how high the numbers are going to be getting in Legion, and also the scaling going into Legion. Now, I think that everybody remembers back at the end of Mists of Pandaria, going into Wards of Draenor, they did the first really big number squish, where a tank that had 1 million health before the number squish, after it only had about 100,000, so it was about 10% of what it was, give or take, and I think that the DPS scaling was even more than that. And so I've been playing the Legion Alpha a lot, and I've been seeing the numbers, they're really big, and I've been asking myself the question, and I want to ask Blizzard the question, when are they going to have to do another one of those? Because it seems like it's coming up real, real soon. So I want to throw some numbers at y'all just so you can see where I'm coming from and why I think this is a problem. Now, whenever I did the level 110 dungeons, Darkheart Thicket, and Grove of the Wardens, my character was scaled up to item level 810, and my level was scaled up to 110. And as a tank, sitting there doing nothing, no cooldowns, no commanding shout, rallying cry, fortitude, you know, last stand, anything, just sitting there doing nothing, my character as a tank had 1.6 million health. Like, I mean, that's more than Siege of Orgrimmar, and like, that's what they scaled down to avoid, and now they're already higher than that, like, two expansions later, and on top of that, so it's like, okay, so the tanks have high health, what about the healers? The healers got over 1 million health. Like, guys, I don't know, like, I played the game for a long time, I never thought I'd play the game long enough to see a healer with 1 million health. It's crazy, and so, anyway, I want to also show some, tell you guys some numbers that are for the bosses and everything, because that's actually the important part. The character numbers can get a lot higher, and it won't really matter, but the boss numbers do. Heroic Ursoc, which is like, they did some raid testing on Heroic Ursoc, and the number scaling have not really been entirely implemented yet, but I think that there's like a raw, or like kind of a base number that we can kind of assume that it's going to be around. With 15 players in the group doing Heroic Ursoc, he had 850 million health. Now, a lot of people don't really think that that's very important, and also, so with 30 players, by the way, I want to say this right now, so with 30 players, one of the first bosses in the first raid of the new expansion Legion is going to have over 1 billion health, okay, that's ridiculous to me, okay, it's crazy. I think that the first character, or the first boss that had over 1 million health in Mists of Pandaria was Elgon, okay? And you had damage scaling for that, and I don't think you have any damage scaling for Ursoc. And so, anyway, the numbers are getting very, very high. And also, this is actually a very big issue, because at the end of Throne of Thunder, whenever Rodin was first unlocked, there was like an ability where like an orb would go to Rodin, and it would hit him, and it would increase his max health. And there was a bug in the game that was discovered, because the max number in a 32-bit integer system is, it's like 2,147,483,647, and then numbers cannot, integers cannot go above that number in a 32-bit system, which apparently World of Warcraft is. I'll read off the wiki so you guys can see what it says. The number I just said, I'm not going to say it again because I don't think I messed it up. I don't want to jinx it, all right? Is the maximum positive value for a 32-bit signed binary integer in computing. It is therefore the maximum value for variables declared as integers, e.g. as int, in many programming languages, and the maximum possible score money, etc. for many video games, and World of Warcraft is no exception there. And so I think that the main question I have here is that how is Blizzard really going to handle this? Because at the end of Siege of Orgrimmar, that's why Garrosh had so many different phases, is so they could avoid hitting that 1.2 billion cap. And obviously it's seeming right here that even in the first tier of the of Legion, they're already going to hit the 2.1 billion cap in some sort of a boss that has a high health pool. And so, if it's already in the first tier that they're going to have this happening, what's really going to happen in, like, the second, or hopefully the third tier? And, honestly, I think that there are a lot of reasons that this has happened, and the game wasn't really always like this, and so I want to kind of explain where I really think that the numbers just kind of got out of control. Now, in vanilla, somebody would do, like, let's say 1.5 million DPS. Like, that was, like, patchwork DPS, and this is, like, for each boss. Like, I guess, like, each boss in the expansion had, like, there was one boss in the expansion that was, like, okay, if you could do, you know, high DPS on this boss, this was, like, the, like, benchmark DPS boss. And so that's what I'm going to be using as, like, examples here. So in vanilla, it was 1,500 DPS. So, like, 1,500 DPS was, like, just, like, big damage in vanilla, you know, fully geared out Fury Warrior with, like, you know, Hungering Cold, Gressel, Dawn of Ruin, everything that you need. only 1,500 DPS, okay? Going to Burning Crusade, then I guess like damage on Brutalis, which is the second boss in Sunwell, was like top damage, you know, Shadow Bolt, Warlock, you know, one button, you know, one button would do the most damage in the game. All right, I'm not going to even talk about that. But anyway, so the top damage in Burning Crusade was about 3,000, okay? So it was about double from what it was in Vanilla, all right? And it took a while to get up to that, and I guess in Black Temple, it was only about 2,000, and so Sunwell really also had a big increase as well, since it was kind of like the fourth raid tier. In Wrath of the Lich King, this is where it kind of flew off the handle. The top damage in Wrath of the Lich King on, like, Deathbringer Sarfang, which is, like, the fourth boss in ICC, with no real buff or anything like that, was about 17,000 to 20,000 DPS, give or take, for, like, a Fury Warrior or maybe an Arcane Mage or something like that. And so we went from, you know, at the end of Burning Crusade, 3,000, all the way up to 20,000, potentially 20,000 to 17,000, at least 15,000. So that's a jump from, it was, like, you know, like, twice as much from Vanilla to Burning Crusade, and then five times as much from Burning Crusade into a Wrath of the Lich King. And I think that one of the big implementations between those two in Wrath of the Lich King was that they added multiple difficulties, and so ICC basically had four tiers of gear: Heroic 10 Man, Normal 25 Man, and Heroic 25 Man. And also there were the hard modes in Old War, and also there were four different difficulties of Trial of the Crusader. And so this has become more and more of an issue, the more difficulties and the more different modes of the game that Blizzard has added into it, because of the amount of differences in the items and kind of just how quickly the numbers can get really pretty much out of control. So I do want to finish off the comparisons just so you guys can see the progression here. Now, in Cataclysm on Ultraxian, I would say the top damage, like, I think I maxed out at, like, 60,000 or, like, 55 to 60,000 DPS, and I think there were some rogues and warriors in some really top-level guilds that did somewhere around 65 to 70,000 DPS on Ultraxian. And those were pretty quick fights, and so I would say, like, between 60 and 70,000. And so, actually, the comparative difference between Wrath of the Lich King to Cataclysm was smaller between Burning Crusade and Wrath of the Lich King. And then you go into Mists of Pandaria, and this is where it just goes out of control. Alright, you guys remember that. Y'all probably remember that. The top damage and on Iron Juggernaut, without really like some kind of super fast speed kill, was about 500,000 DPS. So you go from 70,000, okay, 70,000, and then you go all the way up to 500,000. And I saw logs for like 600, maybe even a couple 700,000 DPS. I don't remember about 700,000, but it was really, really high. And so that's over 10 times as much for between, Cataclysm and Mists of Pandaria. And again, that was also a lot of different difficulties. So you have four different difficulties of, Heroic Normal, three different difficulties for Mogushin Vault, and then you also had Heart of Fear gear, and so there were like four or five different tiers of gear in the first tier of Mists of Pandaria, and then you had three, I think, in the, four if you count Thunder Forging, and like basically the first iteration of War Forging in Throne of Thunder, and then Siege of Orgrimmar had four difficulties. So each of these difficulties has to give people a power increase, and so whenever you have four power increases, you're going to just have a lot more power, basically, and that's pretty much what's been happening here, and I see that carrying into Legion, and I think that it can create a lot of problems, and one of the biggest ones, obviously, is the number cap. I think that's the only one that really, really matters. The rest of the, seeing really big numbers on the screen is not really too big of a deal. Diablo has that right now. Like, hitting for a billion isn't even a big deal in Diablo. So, I don't really think that that's something that's as much of an issue, but I do think that they should, I don't know if they have the program, if they changed the programming to like kind of go around this 2.1 billion cap, but if they haven't, they really need to think of something soon, because I don't really think that everybody wants to do like phase transition fights in the same way that Garrosh is for pretty much all the tiers after the first one in Legion. And so anyway, also there's another emergent problem that can kind of come out of this, which is somebody in like Burning Crusade, let's say, if they quit the game and then they came back like later on and like they quit in like Karazhan. So they had like Karazhan gear. They come back and Black Temple's out. They can go into Black Temple. Like, they're gonna suck, okay? They're not gonna do well. But they can at least hold their own, and if they can play well and you know, play their class correctly and do everything right, they can kind of at least do okay. Imagine that going into normal Siege of Orgrimmar with Mogush and Vault's gear. There's just not even a comparison. And so it makes it more difficult for new players, or actually older players, to take a break and then come back into the game. They feel like they're being left behind, and the more item inflations and number inflations that they do, it becomes more and more evident that that's happening, and I think personally it makes it more difficult for people to come back into the game and enjoy it as much because they have to make such a big improvement and so many jumps from what they already had. And so there's no real point where somebody can just stop and say, okay, I've got enough gear, I'm going to take a break and then come back and maybe play. Because by the time that they come back, they're going to be so far behind, you know, they can't really catch up. And I think that's a really bad problem. And, you know, like, it's like, what can Blizzard really do about this? I think that there are, like, really kind of two different things, or two different main things that they could do about it. One thing is that, of course, like, I've talked about this a lot, is remove or consolidate, really, some of the difficulties in raiding. If they made, like, two difficulties, or, like, I would like to see one, but if they made two or something like that, where the first half of the raid would kind of be the difficulty of, you know, like, let's say they consolidated, like, flex rating and, like, normal mode rating, and so, like, the first half would be about as hard as flex, and then the second half would be about as hard as normal mode, and then, like, you'd have heroic and mythic, you know, which would kind of be the same thing as well, or, like, you know, the first half was about as hard as heroic, and the second half was about as hard as mythic. I think that that would kind of make sense, and it would also make sense more for players. You know, I'm not really going to get too much into the multiple difficulties thing, because I've talked about it a lot, but I do think that it would be good for the game in more ways than one, but this is definitely one big way. Another thing that they could do is, you know, in Diablo 3, I talked about that before, is that whenever the number, because the numbers got so high in Season 4 of Diablo that they finally implemented, like, you don't see, like, this giant number anymore. You just see, like, 105M. And so the M stands for million, and then there's K if you don't really do that much damage. And so all of those things can kind of work together and, I guess, like, reduce clutter on the screen and make it easier for people who are playing to kind of process and understand how much damage they're doing and the numbers that are going on the screen. I think that they could do that as well. And they had teased this idea at the end of Cataclysm, going into Mists of Pandaria, and nobody really talked about it too much after they already decided to do the item squish, but I do think that something needs to be done, because if they don't do anything, they're going to hit that 2.1 billion number cap very, very quickly, and Diablo 3 doesn't really have to do that, because I think it's like a 64-bit system or something like that, to where it doesn't have to deal with the number cap, and I don't have any real programming knowledge or expertise, so I don't know if, like, Blizzard can, like, upgrade it to, like, a 32-bit system to where people, you know, that it can process integers higher than that 2.1 billion number or not, but it does seem like if they were going to do that, they probably would have done that instead of doing the item squish, because it would have been a lot harder to do, or a lot easier and simpler to do than upgrade the software, than just rescale every single thing in the game. But anyway, guys, I do think this is a problem, and, you know, the more I play Legion, and the more I see numbers, and even in War of the Draenor, numbers are really, really high with certain things, especially if you have the Legendary Ring and all. It just seems like the numbers are getting way, way too high, and they should make more gradual power increases in the game. You know, I would like to see a smaller difference between the best, like, ultimate, like, you know, like, top Warforged, you know, like, whatever, you know, mythic geared player and, you know, just somebody in the first tier of raid gear. I think that if they make that gap a little bit smaller, they're going to probably help other people kind of transition into better raiding guilds and everything like that, rather than just being walled off through gear. And that's just one problem that it could potentially cause. So I'm curious to see what you guys think. If you played the Legion Alpha or anything like that, go ahead and let me know if you've done anything like this. And, you know, I haven't really seen any of the other bosses besides Ursoc on the Legion Alpha. I don't think they've even put any of them out. But I do think this is going to be a problem. And so let me know what you guys think, you know, they could do. Or, you know, I guess, like, what your experiences with it are, or what you'd really like to see them do. But anyway, that's pretty much all I got. I figured I'd talk to you guys about the subject because, as I said, I think it's a very pressing issue, and something needs to be done pretty quickly, or, you know, things can get out of control the same way they did with Rodan, and they kind of have done with Diablo 3. But Diablo 3, I think, doesn't run in the same system, so they don't have to worry about that cap. Anyway, guys, that's pretty much all I've got. So, thanks for watching, and like, comment, subscribe.
Hello, Hello guys, this is Lawrence Muiz, and today I'll be giving you the lore of Xavius, going through his history, history of the Satyr, and the Emerald Nightmare. So, without further ado, let's get into the video. About 10,000 years ago, Xavius was a high counselor to Queen Ashara and a pretty important figure overall in the Night Elven society. But he wasn't just a Night Elf, he was a Highborn, which is an upper-class Night Elf who mainly deems himself as superior to the other lesser races. However, even amongst the Highborn, Xavius was very arrogant and deeply impressed with Queen Ashara. To this day, the Highborn are mainly considered to be the reason why the Burning Legion invasion happened in the first place, and rightfully so, as their abuse of the Well of Eternity worked as a beacon which drew the Legion closer to the world. Unbeknownst to many, Xavius is the main one to blame, as he was really the one who got the ball rolling. In his attempt to impress the Queen, he approached her with an idea to use the Well of Eternity to cleanse the world of the so-called lesser races and make it perfect in her eyes. However, during the execution of his plan, he created a magical disturbance in the Well of Eternity that drew the attention of the Burning Legion. Sargeras, sensing Titan-created magic, immediately jumped on this opportunity and casted a spell on Xavius, turning him into a servant of his will. Xavius, now under his command, convinced Ashara to ally with Sargeras, which she gladly accepted as she saw it as a way to further her ultimate goals. She allowed the draining of the Well of Eternity, which was used to power up the portal, allowing the Burning Legion to invade Azeroth. At that moment, a huge confusion happened, as the non-Highborn Night Elves had no idea what was going on, and they just couldn't believe that Ashara was responsible for this, so they started to fight back the demons. Kurtalos Ravencrest, a noble, but still a regular Night Elf, was the main leader of the initial resistance that battled the incoming demons. The problem with this is that his army had its own spellcasters, and they were all tapping into the Well of Eternity, making the portal of the Burning Legion weaker, so Ashara ordered Xavius to create a barrier and cut them off from the source. The plan was very successful at start, as it allowed the Highborn to focus their magic into making the portal wider, which meant more demons could come through, and eventually Sargeras once it is big enough, while the resistance forces were severely weakened. However, the barrier only blocked Arcane, and it didn't do anything to prevent druid magic, which gave Malfurion an opportunity to use the Emerald Dream and destroy his spell, allowing the Night Elves to regain their arcane powers. Subsequently, a battle happened between Malfurion and Xavius, which resulted in the death of Xavius and his tower exploding. Naturally, this would have been the end of him, but Sargeras couldn't just drop the tool which he used to start the entire thing, so he returned him to life. Sargeras transformed and disfigured Xavius, turning him into the first Satyr on Azeroth, and he gave him two tasks. First one was to convert Highborn into the Satyr, and the second one was to bring Malfurion, the one responsible for the destruction of the portal, to Sargeras. The initial task was quite easy, as not long after he had returned, he had a sizable force of the Satyr, which would later lead to the Satyr we have today. However, the second task turned to be more than difficult, and he had failed once again, losing to Malfurion. This time though, his death was not as simple, as when Chandris Feathermoon injured Xavius, Malfurion used the arrow to grow a tree, which absorbed his body, pretty much using it as nutrients, essentially trapping Xavius into a wooden prison. Subsequently, when the sundering happened, the tree fell into the ocean, which seemingly resulted in his demise. Once again, however, Xavius was given a second chance, this time though not by the actual Burning Legion as they had abandoned him, but by the Old Gods instead. It is uncertain how this unraveled, but the Old Gods most likely intervened in the same manner as they did with the Ashara and the Naga, pretty much when they had no other option than to join the Old Gods. So, 10,000 years later, Xavius returns once again, this time as the so-called Nightmare Lord. He was tasked by Enzoth, an old god, to bind the Emerald Nightmare to the Material Plane, which would be devastating to the world of Azeroth. This would pretty much help free the old gods, while he could also destroy the world that had wronged him, and also, most importantly for him, get revenge on Malfurion that he was so eager for. His first part of the plan was to manipulate Fandral Staghelm, who was already vulnerable since the death of his son, manipulating him into planting a branch of the Tree of Xavius into Teldrassil, ensuring that a new world tree would be corrupted from the start. After that, he trapped many important characters into the nightmare, and he was the closest than he ever was in history to actually accomplishing his goals. But despite all that, he was ultimately defeated by Malfurion for the third time, of course helped by other characters, but it was Malfurion again. He managed to stop the nightmare, but not really close it, only trapping it in a corner of the Emerald Dream, known as the Rift of Alm. Unsurprisingly, this was not the end of Xavius, as once again he was given a new chance. This time he serves the Burning Legion, as they found a new purpose for him, and he leads the conquest of Valshara, a zone on the Broken Isles. I will not really go fully into detail here, as this is mainly from the Alpha, and things could change by release, and there's also spoilers, but I can definitely guarantee you that he will have a big role, and many major characters will be connected and involved in his storyline. Alright, that is all I have for this video. Now do leave your feedback and tell me which stories you would like to see covered, and also don't forget to like and subscribe if you're not subscribed to the channel already, as it really helps out and keeps all the videos going, and thanks a lot for taking the time out of your day to watch this video, and see you next time.
Hello everyone, and thank you for tuning in to Wowhead Weekly number 65. We have a lot to talk about today. Some new information from the Alpha, some new information from live servers, and I'm talking about Heroes of the Storm. It's Wowhead Weekly, Heroes of the Stormhead Weekly, who cares? But before we do all that, I would like to introduce my lovely co-host, Wowhead Site Manager Perculia.
Hey everyone, very busy week as usual. Protection Warrior Pepe is here, and we have a lot to talk about with artifact weapons and herbalism and marksmanship hunters and Illyria and Heroes of the Storm.
Yes!
Model thing awesome.
Now, I haven't played marksmanship hunters on the Alpha. I played quite a bit of survival hunters, polearm hunters, but did you actually get a chance to play marksmanship hunters?
I did not personally play it, but, you know, someone at Wowhead who's making the videos put it together, and yeah, similar to you, I did Survival Hunters, but not Marksman, but...
I played a gnome!
Aw.
I had to.
Yeah, so delayed reaction, besides Marksman, so... It was a really super delayed reaction that there is this nesting request in High Mountain, and you help his apprentice kill things. I'm like, well, this is interesting. And I realized way after the fact that it was setting up the lore for Gnome Hunters, because the person that's following you around was tired of writing his books and wanted to go out and explore. And before I was like, good for you, go out
good
and explore.
For
now
you.
I'm like, oh, you're actually the Gnome Hunter. This is actually
That's cute. I like that they incorporated that and they didn't just say, okay, here's another race class combination. They kind of had a quest of like, I'm the first gnome hunter and I'm going to hunt things. Let's go exploring. Ready for adventure.
But yeah, so for marksman hunters, it's an actually interesting video to watch, even if you don't care about the lore, just because it's a petless class. So... You know,
that's so
first time
strange.
Petless hunter.
Yeah, that's so, but it's cool. I'm glad that they're doing something like that. I like that they're really, this expansion seems like they're really trying to separate specs that, so that if you don't play a hunter, you can easily look at a hunter and be like, oh, does he have a pet? He's beast mastery. Does he have a big spear? He's survival. Exactly. Does he not have a pet? He's marksmanship. So I do like that they're doing that and they're giving everybody their own unique identities.
Yeah, so as for the lore tied to the marksmanship hunters, I guess we should really have like a spoiler alert thing flashing.
I keep meaning to do that. Next week, I swear, guys, next week I will have a little thing that pops up in the corner that says spoiler so that you know when to mute and unmute. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to put it on Perk. She's going to talk about spoilers, and when it comes back to both of us, spoilers will be over.
Okay. So this questline is more serious than the Elemental Shaman one. Verisa Windrunner has received information that her sister Illyria is being held captive in Niskar. They were torturing some demons, and one revealed that she was present. And this is a really risky mission because we haven't seen Illyria since Draenor became Outland. And her advisors were questioning her, like, is she doing this for personal reasons because Illyria is her older sister? Or is this for the greater good to get back a famous general? And is that worth the risk? So, of course, she goes through the portal and she's trying to find her. And basically, you learn how to kill lots of demons without a pet this way. And the grand reveal is, no, you do not actually find Illyria, but her weapon, Thastara, legacy of the Windrunners, is left behind. And there's speculation that it was left behind, that maybe she escaped, and this was meant to lure her back in for her to pick up her treasured weapon. So because she's not around, Varisa has decided that you should take the bow right now in, you know, like, in her spirit, and they have hope that she is alive and out there somewhere. So, yeah. I know at BlizzCon, they're like, oh, we will, you know, we'll see Illyria and Turalyon return. We'll hear their stories. So I don't think this is the end of it.
Yeah, we've heard a story. I think we're good. We've heard a story, yeah, but she's not back. Who she is, we'll no longer say. But, I think it's interesting that they're touching on that lore, and especially since we know that Sylvanas is going to have such a big part in this expansion. I'm into it.
Yeah, I added this thing to our post this afternoon because, like the Shaman post, we previewed the weapon and all the colors, and something I thought was really cool was how there were five styles, and three of them were named after the sisters. So there's Illyria's legacy, which is kind of this, you know, wooden elven bow with, you know, curls at the end, similar to her Hearthstone portrait. Mm-hmm. And then Varisa's legacy has these neon flamey wings that are kind of similar to her shoulders that she wears. And then Sylvanas' legacy is sort of, you know, more dark and kind of looks like a raven, and the feathers are stringier and more sinister. And I really like that, how the different styles of the bows, like, pay tribute to the paths that they've taken. And
absolutely. Absolutely. Moving on to I did not put these videos in this video. No, I didn't do it because they're super long, and I didn't know how I was going to, like, cut them down. But I uploaded the Druid one, I think, to the Facebook page. I can do the Shaman one, too, if you'd like. But Wowhead has high-res videos of the Tier 19?
Yep, that's what we're on.
Of the Tier 19 Druid and Shaman sets. And the Druid set is awesome. Like, don't get me wrong, Shaman set's great, too. But the Druid set is, like, this owl. And it looks very, very different from previous tiers that we've seen in Druids. And people love them.
Yeah, so I wanted to talk actually about the Shaman set, because everyone always complains that PvE and PvE look exactly the same, and that they shouldn't just be recolors. And the Mythic Shaman set is orange, and it has these molten decorations around the shoulders and the chest. But then the Elite PvP set is blue, and it's not just, like, blue lava, but it has these different jagged things on the shoulders.
Yeah, like lightning.
Down. So they actually tried to have them represent the elements a bit differently, which I think is pretty cool, and I'd like to see more subtle variations like that around the tier ones.
Absolutely. I definitely like that they're doing that, because that's been a complaint since, like, Mists of Pandaria, that so much gear looks so similar. So baby steps in the right direction, but I appreciate it, and I like it. And there are videos on youtube.com/wowhead, as well as embedded directly on Wowhead. And I know I uploaded the Druid one to Facebook. If you guys want, I can definitely do the Shaman one as well tonight. That's not a problem.
Yeah, I've been doing these things on Twitter also, where I post, like, two plate sets or two mail set, and I ask people to say what their favorite set is out of the two. Mm-hmm. And people get really into it.
They're like, I believe it.
This is the best. No, this is the best. Like, Shaman Pride, Hunter Pride. But yeah, I think Shaman one.
Okay, this is another thing that I'm super excited about. I'm really bad at transitions today. I'm sorry, guys. This is another thing that I'm really excited for in the alpha, and that's all the profession updates. And we've talked about this a bit in the past. Like, even back to, like, Gamescom, we knew that professions were going to be much more interesting, much more dynamic, much more engaging than they are currently. Well, that's not saying much, because currently it's put a work order in a building and wait for it to pop. But, there, Pepe, that's such a cute hat. Where did you get that hat?
It was made by someone in Germany, and she had them up on eBay. Her name is Ms. Mew. She doesn't have it listed publicly in the U.S., but if you tweet me, I can try putting you in touch with her.
Super cute.
And she made all of these, and she, I think everyone related to Pepe shared them, but she made them for every single Pepe disguise. And this was the cutest, so I got it. And it comes even with the shield, and you pin it on Pepe. And super it's really cute. Clever because one horn is heavier than the other, so if you put the shield on the other side, then he doesn't fall over.
He, like, balances out.
Anyway, herbalism. I'll try
Anyways, herbalism. Keeping on track. So, herbalism in Legion is super interesting, and it's not just, like, running around and finding dots on a map and collecting things and moving on with your life. You learn about the lore and the history behind each herb. Like, this is like Warlords of Botany, okay? Like, it's a big deal. And
there are, like, books
to yeah.
people pick the herbs. I'm like, whoa, this is really detailed.
Yeah, it's like super, super detailed, and I like how much they put into it. And each herb in Legion actually has its own special spell effect. And now, since we haven't been able to transfer characters over and you have to make new ones, I haven't picked up a profession on the character that I have yet. Did you actually do the herbalism, or was
yeah,
this like...
Yeah, so actually, oh, this oh. was... actually. So I think the developer that was testing herbalism, he planted a row of or she planted a row of, like, all the herbs in Legion, even ones not found in Valshara, just straight in a line in Valshara, and they endlessly respawn. So I'm like, well, I'll just keep picking these herbs. And when you pick the herbs, you get the quest items for the higher ranks. So I didn't get, like, to pick all of them, because some actually do send you to zones that aren't open, but I got pretty far picking herbs that way.
That's pretty great. And I know this is the one I was most interested in. We got to get a video of this, but foxflower is one of the new herbs in Legion. And when you pick foxflower, it actually summons a little fox that drops flowers. Now, is that just a visual effect of flowers, or are those pickable?
So when you run over them, it automatically loots them.
That's so cool. That's so cool.
I know, and the flowers are pretty too. They're like orange daisies, so... they're very pretty.
Now, are they like herbalism flowers, or are they like...
Yeah, you get more foxflower.
That's really, really neat. That's really, really cool. And then there's Dreamleaf, which...
There are two versions of Dreamleaf, which is kind of interesting.
Okay.
Because like in like, the evil areas, you get the one that looks like it's dying, and when you click on it, it summons a mob you kill, and you get the flowers that way. But in the happy areas, there's a cleansed version, and it's happy, and you just loot them normally.
That's cute. So it's almost like the nightmare and the dream version of Dreamleaf. That's really neat. And then there's also Starlight, which frequently gives you junk.
Yep.
Thanks, so. Starlight. Starlight, Star Bright. You're real helpful. No, you're not. And then there's also ranks to herbalism as well. So you're not just leveling up. What's the cap in Legion? 800. Oh my god, 800.
I know.
Where is the last 10 years of my life gone? But there's actually ranks to each herb. So it's not just about leveling up your herbalism. You have to level up each herb. Rank 1 will allow you to more effectively pick herbs. Rank 2 will give you a chance to herb crafting materials when you pick flowers and stuff. And rank 3 will give you all sorts of unique things. That's when you're going to get foxflower will actually summon a fox that will fight beside you. And oh... Fjar Skaggle.
Yep.
I tried. It lets you mount up quickly, quicker than you would if you didn't have it. And then Dreamleaf will give you a power buff.
Yeah, so, and that's pretty cool because each flower has a different quest series. So that's when we're talking about how you actually learn about the lore behind all of these flowers. And the first ranks are pretty easy, but when you get to rank 3, you're killing basically a 5-person elite. So you need to get your friends that, you know, want your class.
Hi, I'm herbalizing.
Yeah, I tried killing them, and I could not solo them on the alpha. And they're really funny. Like when you learn about picking Fjarn Skaggle, they have these books called like, the Tangled Beard, and they're talking about the proper way to pick it versus the bad way because it's prickly. And you can actually read the books, and that's pretty cool. Or you learn about Valshara's corruption for Dreamleaf, and the NPC quest giver is like very upset that there are corrupted Dreamleaf, and he's emoting in all caps about it. So they're all pretty funny with a distinct personality. As mentioned, some of them send you to the zones that are not open, which is Azuna and Suramar. So probably we'll have another update when those zones are available, because Starlight is a super big pain because it gives you junk a lot of the time, but if you level it up, the chance for it to fail becomes much less.
That's cool. That's really neat. I like that they're doing stuff like that. And then this is actually a good transition.
Yep.
In other profession news, yep. In other profession news, we talked a little bit about the fishing artifact that's coming in Legion. And as of last show, we didn't have a model for it. But then the following day, we got kind of a preview model. It's not quite a full model, but you can see that the fishing artifact has like a little Murloc skull. It's kind of Murloc-y. It reminds me more of, you know, those like really deep sea fish that have like the little light bulb thing.
That probably is why it's called Underlight Angler. But that just makes sense. I'm like,
I didn't even know that. But that's what it reminds me of, is those types of fish. But it does have arms, so it probably is some sort of weird Murloc combination thing. I don't know. It's going to be cool. I'm really excited for it. And like Perk said, it's called the Underlight Angler, and we're not entirely sure how you get it.
Yeah. But I know when we first found the data, people thought that Blizzard maybe was trolling, but now that we're starting to see, you know, a model coming along, it you know, it's like we're probably going to get this fishing weapon because they're putting more work into it.
It's like, it's going to be a whole new level of, guys, I forgot to equip my weapon, I left my fishing pole on, because it's not just going to be any fishing pole, it's going to be an artifact fishing pole.
If you look at some of the traits it has, because it's up in WoWhead's artifact calculator, one trait is Fish Render's Blessing, which turns you into a fish underwater, but the other one that's a big trait is Fish Bane, which increases your auto attack damage. So I guess if your fishing pole is on and instead of your weapon, you will still do better damage.
Fantastic. Now, there's also something called Better Luck Next Time, which allows you to catch boots in the Broken Isle. Oh, we don't know what that means. Okay, I was hoping maybe you could explain that, but no.
I don't know, but I mean, that sounds pretty cool. Like, you're fishing up boots, not fish.
Fishing up in old boots? I don't even know. That's hilarious. Yeah. What if they're like vanity boots? Oh,
that would be cool.
I go everywhere. What if they're transmog boots? My famous last word.
Fish have transmog.
He's so good, like fish slippers. We also got some information on the alpha this week about some new zones and some new dungeons. Of course, last week we talked very briefly about Black Rook Hold. That's very hard for me to say. I fail every time. And this is that Night Elf dungeon that was used in the War of the Ancients.
Yeah, I really like it because it looks very different from what you expect with Night Elves. Like, most of Valshra is very druidy or corrupt, so it's very green or red, but this area is very dark, and it's this big imposing castle that looks like a chess piece, and there's, you know, black stone and catapults and towers and angry ghosts fighting, so it looks very different, and I like seeing that edge of the Night Elves, that they're not just, you know, running around hugging trees and letting things happen, that they're very serious about their military training.
Yeah, and like Perk said, this is a side of Night Elves we really haven't seen before. We see a lot of stereotypical scenarios type things when it comes to Night Elves, and this is very dark and serious, and just something we don't normally see with Night Elf lore. And the instance is really dark. It's got like a very heavy military theme to it. There's armor and there's barracks. And if you're interested in seeing this, I do believe that WoWhead has a preview of the instance, which is already cleared on their YouTube channel. Because I think I downloaded it. Yeah,
that was one of them that I ran. And just a few more notes on the dungeon. I did feel that it was very dark and lots of trash, so there was a lot of rooms that just served flavor purposes, but because it was very dark, you couldn't really appreciate all the cool armor doodads, so maybe they'll lighten stuff up.
Yeah.
But basically, this was all led by Lord Ravencrest, and he's been dead for a very long time, but Gul'dan wants to resurrect him and get information out of him.
Typical Gul'dan.
So you're fighting all the inhabitants who were raised from the dead and are now tricked by the Burning Legion to think that everyone is a demon and they're reliving the War of the Ancients and they need to kill you because you are a demon. So you get to fight a lot of his ancestors and families and friends. And yeah, it's also tied to the Ravencourt area, which we also talked about last week, also in Valshara. I don't have too much to say on that, just that it's also very dark and gray. Like, the sky is gray, and usually in Night Elf areas, it's, like, purple and pink and everything. And if you're interested in what happens to My F Shadow Song, you want to check that quest series out there. And, yeah, there's, like, a spooky graveyard with Night Elves. There's ghosts fighting, you know, training dummies. There's all these weapon racks. It's a very different sort of place, especially if you no current things like, you know, the Sentinels or Feathermoon Stronghold. It looks way different than that.
Yeah, it's really dark. It's that big circle, like when you're questing in Valshara, right? And you get to that huge, big, like, circle. Or it kind of looks like a broken down castle.
Yeah,
it's definitely very different. It almost reminded me of What's the area in Vanilla WoW with all of the Naga guys? Do you know what I'm talking about? There was a big circular area in one of those questing areas. No, I can't remember.
Ashenvale, like the beach?
No, because you're like in the 40s when you're questing there. Ashenvale isn't 40s, is it? I don't know. No. I'll look it up. It's not
important. Okay.
It's not important. Story of my life. Let me bring up this thing that's completely not relevant and then get stuck on it for a while. In other news, Vault of the Wardens unexpectedly opened a couple days ago. That is another dungeon that we're going to be seeing in Legion.
Yeah, and they didn't really announce it. I know for the last alpha build, they had this pretty infographic, and then this just sort of popped up one day. But this is where Illidan and the Demon Hunters were imprisoned until Gul'dan tried to invade it, which kicks off the events of Legion, and seeing some of that is in the sort of teaser trailer that transitions Warlords to Legion. And if you play a Demon Hunter, it's part of your starting area experience, and we've already taken screenshots of that for WoWhead, but all the players get to go back and experience it as a dungeon. So,
well, this is super cool, too. Yeah. This is the dungeon that was really hyped at Gamescom when they talked about, like, this is the prison where Illidan was kept, and you're going to go in, and you're going to fight things and release things. Like, this was, I feel like they talked a lot about this at Gamescom, so to see it finally coming to fruition is really cool and really interesting. And I just lost my train of thought. Like, mid-sentence, I lost my train of thought. I know. Not enough coffee today. Too much coffee. I don't know. Calibration of coffee is off. There's not a video of this yet on WoWhead, but there will be in the coming next couple days. So.
Yep.
Thank you, everybody, for coming and joining us. And if you think of any questions that that you would like to ask us, feel free to leave them on the WoWhead post when this video goes up or on our YouTube channel. In the meantime, we are going to go, but quickly I want to thank everybody who is subscribed to WoWhead's YouTube channel, and, well, I guess them too, but subscribe to WoWhead's Twitch channel and subscribe to WoWhead Premium, which is a premium service for WoWhead that takes all the ads off of your screen. It also gives you a special color when you're typing in comments. It allows you to customize today in Draenor and all that kind of good stuff. There's lots of perks to it, plus it directly supports the site. Thanks for following us and watching us and watching our YouTube videos and all of those good things. We appreciate the support, and if it wasn't for you guys, we wouldn't be here, so thank you for all that. We are going to go. We will be back next Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific for another episode of WoWhead Weekly, same bat time, same bat channel. We will be back next week, guys. Have a great weekend. We'll see you soon. Goodbye.
Bye,
bye, Pepe.
'Heels are still depressed when you nerf them down, and mana is still mana in a mana pot. He's still dead when you're done with the bosses. Of course it's a corpse that you keep in the reses. Heels are still depressed when you nerf them down, mana is still mana in a mana pot. Guild money, how did you afford this gear that I love, honey? Just another shift at the Zuck company. He doesn't think I'm that fucking dumb, does he? It doesn't matter what you pull up to your guild, we know what goes on inside. You call that gear your own, we call that carry zone. Silly heels with silly deeds. Holes still suck when the deeps are trash. Tanks don't sleep when the heels are off. Heels are still depressed when you nerf them down. A mana is still mana in a mana pot. He's still dead when you're done with the bosses. Of course it's a corpse that you keep in the reses. Heels are still depressed when you nerf them down. Mana is still mana in a mana pot. Class diet. If they give you a new class, then you will buy it. If they say to uninstall, then you will try it.
All the Xbox in the world won't make you less insecure. You've got plates in your pockets when you go to the GMs. Your favorite loot is classic, that's why all your gear is gothic. Silly heels with silly deeps. Pulls still suck when the deeps are trash. Tanks don't sleep when the heels are off. Heels are still depressed when you nerf them down. A mana is still mana in a mana pot. He's still dead when you're down with the bosses. Of course it's a corpse that you keep in the reses. Heels are still depressed when you nerf them down. Mana is still mana in a mana pot. When the deeps are trash, tanks don't sleep when the heels are off. Heels are still depressed when you nerf them down. And mana is still mana in a mana pot.
Hello once again, darlings. I hope that you're enjoying episode 25 so far. Next up, we have Hiramardex with Who Will Be the End Boss of Legion? Then Slightly Impressive with WoW versus Reality. And Noble87 will wrap up his excellent Story of the Lich King with part 4 of 4. And the lovely birthday girl, Kesha, joins us once again, this time with Kavo350, with a song called Pally. And following that, our very own Grand Nagus brings us Unity Against the Legion.
Back before Warlords of Draenor, I was able to predict who the end boss would be. So, I thought I'd try my hand out deciphering who it will be for Legion as well. Luckily, Blizzard is basically shoving it in our faces who the end boss will be. So, I'll show you. First up, watch this little video.
My son. A terrible darkness has returned to our world. As before, it seeks to annihilate everything that we hold dear. I go to face it, knowing I may not return.
See that right there? What does that look like to you? That's right. A green mustache. Kinda weird, I know, but just stay with me for a moment and watch this next part of a video. Okay, there's two things that immediately pop out to me from this video. One being the introduction of Illidan back into the story, opening the doors for other potential past villains to come back as well. And two, Gul'dan himself. He has a full beard and not a hint of a mustache, meaning you can safely throw him out of speculation and just ignore him. But then again, that could just be misdirection on Blizzard's part. Now on to Exhibit 3. See those three weapons they choose to show off to introduce artifact weapons? Why those ones? Two of them belong to characters who are still alive and well in-game, who have used them for great things. Two iconic characters with two iconic weapons, handing them over. Seems fishy, right? If we take a look at the live stream in the Legion announcement, you can see they focus on these two weapons as well. So how does this all relate to the first two videos I showed? Well, if you hold on a minute, I'll get to that eventually, but first, let's talk about Tyrion and Thrall. Tyrion is a goody-two-shoes whose claim to fame is breaking Frostmourne with the Ashbringer. Thrall is a goody-two-shoes whose claim to fame is founding the Horde, becoming the Warden of Earth, quickscoping Deathwing out of the sky with a dragon soul, and killing Garrosh after chasing him to another world. If you put the two back-to-back, Thrall obviously is a more important character, even joked as Green Jesus because he is all-powerful and all-knowing. Now, surely, you don't mean Thrall would be the last boss of Legion, you might be asking yourself, and I'd agree. Of course not! But let me read you this little excerpt from the War Crimes novel that takes place between myths and warlords.
Squinting, Goel watched in impotent fury as Kairos and Garrosh, both grinning victoriously, disappeared through the floor. Goel expected the aperture to close, but Kairos had left nothing to chance. Where once two had stood, now there were 10. Goel knew them all. His eyes went at once to the powerful orc, clad in traditional human plate armor. Across his gleaming chest was a tabard of red and gold, bearing the crest of a black falcon. The orc swung a gigantic battle axe as, swifter than his fellows, he charged straight for the seats filled with screaming spectators. Goel knew that crest. An enemy out of time who had come to kill him had worn it. Goel had killed an enemy. He would kill this one as well. "Thrall!" Goel screamed, and the mighty orc, wearing the tabard of Aldalus Blackmore, whirled to face him with a hungry grin.
Now, I'm pretty sure after hearing that, along with the other evidence, you've already figured it out. But allow me to spell it out for you just in case. Not too long ago in WoW's lore, there was an evil Thrall that fought our Thrall. Only our Thrall won. The teaser shows Illidan coming back. The trailer shows a green mustache. Blizzard keeps showing Doomhammer. It's all so obvious. The end boss of Legion will be Evil Thrall with a mustache. Evil Thrall will make a return only as our Thrall, and with a mustache. That's why we'll be using Doomhammer to stop him. Don't believe me? Hear it from Blizzard themselves.
I want to head off one question. I know there will be thousands of them after this presentation is over, but one question. This is a question that we have been asked at every single BlizzCon since the inception of BlizzCon. And I'm happy to announce it here at Gamescom.
Who will be the last boss of Legion? Evil Thrall with a mustache.
Thank you.
I'd like to thank my Patreon subscribers for overwhelmingly voting this video into existence. So if you liked it, you can thank them. If you hated it, you can blame them for about half of it.
Okay, going tank.
Oh, good.
Okay, magically turning into a bear somehow.
Ah, a bear!
Nice garrison, I guess. Why does your house look exactly like mine? I'm a little creeped out right now. Dropping a feast.
Oh, nice.
Thanks.
Brought some food.
Ew, what is that smell?
Look, there's mold growing on it.
Gross! How long ago did you make this?
A couple weeks ago, maybe? I don't know, I've just been keeping it in my backpack. And this is my favorite mount.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I've been meaning to level tailoring to get that.
And this is my favorite mount.
You're keeping a rug in a stable?
Yeah, why?
What is the hay for, exactly?
Hey, you want a duel?
Sure.
Yeah!
Yeah!
Yeah! Hey, you want a duel?
Sure.
Yeah!
Ow!
Hey, you want a pet battle?
Sure.
Disgusting oozling.
Hey, you want to make our pets fight to the death?
What? What's wrong with you? I'm calling the police.
Hey, put your PvP gear on so we can go do some BGs.
Okay.
Great, let's go. Hey, put some clothing suitable for combat on so we can go get into fights with people.
Okay.
Did you not hear me, or...
Seek out Commander Merryweather and inform him of our situation.
Okay.
Go tell that guy right next to me what I just said, and he'll give you some gold.
Okay. Wow, this guy has a really expressive beard.
And Hello, everyone. Last week, we finished up talking about the Zones of Northrend. We talked about the Argent Tournament and the infiltration of the Frozen Halls. Now, there's nothing left but to enter the Halls of Icecrown and face the terrors that the Lich King has saved for us within his citadel. Let's begin, shall we?
This is our final stand. What happens here will echo through the ages. Regardless of outcome, they will know that we fought with honor. That we fought for the freedom and safety of our people. Remember, heroes, fear is your greatest enemy in these befouled halls. Steel your heart, and your soul will shine brighter than 1,000 suns. The enemy will falter at the sight of you. They will fall as the light of righteousness envelops them. Our march upon Icecrown Citadel begins now!
You now stand upon the hallowed ground of the Scourge. The light won't protect you here, Paladin. Nothing will protect you.
Arthas! I swore that I would see you dead and the Scourge dismantled. I'm going to finish what I started at Light's Hope.
You could have been my greatest champion, Fordring. A force of darkness that would wash over this world and deliver it into a new age of strife. But that honor is no longer yours. Soon, I will have a new champion. The breaking of this one has been taxing. The atrocities I have committed upon his soul. He has resisted for so long, but he will bow down before his king soon.
Never! I will never serve you!
In the end, you will all serve me.
The Paladin still lives? Is it possible, High Lord? Could he have survived?
The power of the light knows no bounds, Sarfang. His soul is under great strain, but he lives. For now.
Then we must save him. If we rescue Bolvar Fordragon, we may quell the unrest between the Alliance and the Horde.
Could it be, Lord Fordring? If Bolvar lives, mayhap there is hope for peace between the Alliance and the Horde. We must reach the top of this cursed place and free the Paladin!
High Lord, Bolvar Fordragon survived the events of the Wrathgate and is being tortured by the Lich King to turn him into a servant. Both the Alliance and the Horde make it a mission to save Bolvar, since this might quell the unrest between the factions. As we venture through Icecrown Citadel, we encounter several different bosses, but not all of them have that much story, while some of them are really interesting. We start off with Lord Merogar. He's the guardian of the Frozen Throne within the Spire Chamber. Pieced together by the Lich King from the bones of 1,000 vanquished adventurers, Merogar wields the power of the throne itself. Without the destruction of this bony being, there is no hope of taking Icecrown Citadel.
I see. Only darkness.
The Lich Lady Deathwhisper is the supreme overseer of the Cult of the Damned. Entering her room triggers her speech, in which she talks about how all of them found their way because they're amongst the few gifted with a true vision in a world cursed with blindness. She calls the meat on their bones a curse, a weakness, a crippling flaw as a joke played by the creators upon their own creations. They see being turned into the undead as a great honor, but some speculate that she's talking about more. The old gods cursed some of the Titan creations with the curse of flesh, which made them weaker, it literally gave them flesh, and it made them more vulnerable for their corruption. Some speculate that the old god Yaxxaran had a lot more to do with the events of the Lich King, considering that one of his visions, as you enter his mind, is of the Lich King torturing Bolvar, Serenite is Yaxxaran's blood, which was used to build up the Citadel, and this speech all seems to connect to Yaxxaran with the Lich King. It's never really been confirmed though, so speculation is all we have.
All part of the Master's plan! Your end is inevitable!
The Ice Crown gunship battle is a little bit strange story-wise, but it made for a pretty damn cool fight. Both the Horde and the Alliance, they're assaulting Ice Crown Citadel at the same time, and tension between the two factions are high, since both factions lost a whole bunch of people at the Wrath Gates. Both factions want to desperately reach the perfect vantage point, take down Arthas and save Bolvar to bring peace. So they want it so bad that they decided to blow each other out of the sky just to get the glory.
Don't say I didn't warn you, scoundrels! Onward, brothers and sisters! The Alliance falter! Onward to the Lich King! You dare board my ship? Your death will come swiftly!
After the gunship battle, we meet another victim of the Wrath Gates, Deathbringer Sourfang. This is High Overlord Sourfang's son, who lost the Sword to Frostmourne and has been turned to a Death Knight by the Lich King.
My boy died at the Wrath Gate. I am here only to collect his body.
Stubborn and old, what chance do you have? I am stronger and more powerful than you ever were.
We named him Dranosh. It means Heart of Draenor in Orcish.
Both sides defeat the Orc, where on the Horde side, Sourfang collects his son, but on the Alliance side, you see a bit more conversation.
Soldiers, fall in! Looks like the Horde are coming to take another shot.
Don't force me hand, Orc. We can't let you pass.
Behind you lies the body of my only son. Nothing will keep me from him.
I can't do it. Get back on your ship and we'll spare your life.
Stand down, Muradin. Let a grieving father pass.
No ko kills Ilnok, Atar. I will not forget this kindness. I thank you, Highness.
I was not at the Wrath Gate. But the soldiers who survived told me much of what happened. Your son fought with honor. He died a hero's death. He deserves a hero's burial.
Respect is shown, and Sourfang takes his boy home. Rotface and Festigut, they don't really have a story, besides being created by Professor Putrescite, who they see as their father, and they love their pets very much.
Good news, everyone!
Professor Putrescite has perfected a plague which will eradicate all life on Azeroth, and he's probably responsible for most of the abominations and creations that we've seen in the Scourge army.
Bad news, everyone! I don't think I'm going to make it.
Foolish mortals. You thought us defeated so easily. The Sandlane are the Lich King's immortal soldiers. Now, you shall face their might combined.
The Blood Prince Council consists of three Dark Fallen princes, which we encountered and defeated before. Dark Fallen are vampiric undead blood elves resurrected by Arthas after they defeated during Warcraft 3. Prince Kelisif, he was the first boss of Utgard Keep and the Scourge Overlord of the Howling Fjords. Prince Valinar, he was the Scourge Overlord of the Borean Chunda and taken out with the help of Vessarion. Prince Teldaram, he was the second boss of Unkahed, where he was searching for lost Nerubian relics to empower the Scourge's murderous ranks and please the Lich King. With the Dark Fallen Orb empowering them, they tried to stop our assault, but they failed, and the next encounter was against their Blood Queen Lanafel.
You have made an unwise decision.
Not all the Blood Elves that were turned into Dark Fallen, they died while fighting together with their Prince Kilfa Sunstrider. Some of them survived a little bit longer in Northrend, they were left behind by their prince, and one by one, Arthas picked them off, converting them into his dark army. Lanafel was one of those survivors, and with the legendary blade Quel'Dalar, she tried to hold her ground, but the might of Frostmourne, it was simply too great. She lost her life, and Arthas decided to not only turn her into the undead, he also made her the Blood Queen of all the Dark Fallen. Lanafel eagerly carried out her new duties given to her by the Lich King, but the blade, it reminded her of her former life, and she could not afford such distractions. With a scream that echoed throughout Ice Crown, she shattered Quel'Dalar, and she flung the fractured pieces as far as she could. Heroes would later find the battered hilt of the weapon and restore the legendary blade, while Lanafell found her demise within Ice Crown.
But we were all getting along, so...
Valyria Dreamwalker is one of those bosses that just seems very random, since all we know is that she's a captured green dragon, and they tried to destroy her so that they could resurrect her into an agent of the Scourge. By resurrecting her health, we gave her enough power to shatter her bonds, she liberated herself, and then she simply disappeared into thin air.
I am renewed! Ysera grants me the favor to lay these foul creatures to rest!
Finally, there's Syndragosa, a blue dragon in life. She was the prime consort of the blue dragon aspect, Melagos.
You are fools who have come to this place! The icy winds of Northrend will consume your souls!
During the War of the Ancients, they created a device known as the Dragon Soul, later to be known as the Demon Soul, which was planned to be used against the invading Legion. What they didn't know was that Deathwing, he was corrupted by the Old Gods, and he didn't just use the device against the Legion, he also used it against the Night Elf forces and his fellow dragons. With its power, he nearly wiped out the entire Blue Dragonflight, including Syndragosa. The blast of the spell hurled her all the way to the Cold North. Blinded and near death, Syndragosa sought desperately to reach the Dragon Blights, the place where dragons go to die. No longer able to fly, Syndragosa plummeted to the cold earth in the region of Ice Crown. The blue dragon gathered what remained of her energy and called out to Melagos for aid. Her only answer was the howling Arctic wind as she struggled on, but the distance was far too great. Agonizingly, she realized that her spirit would not find rest within Dragon Blights. Her life continued to fade away as her sanity deteriorated. In the midst of her delirium, Syndragosa's final thoughts turned to bitterness and hatred. Hatred against the Legion, hatred against Nelfarion, hatred even against Melagos. But most of all, hatred against the world of mortals. And in her dying moments, Syndragosa vowed revenge. Now many years later, Arthas used Frostmourne to resurrect the mighty blue dragon, and she was forced to fight for the Lich King. The whole revenge bit never made it into the overall storyline, since she seems pretty happy that we take her out and liberate her from the Lich King's control, very similar to Anubarak, for example.
Can you feel the cold hand of death upon your heart?
Now with all of his creations, all of his powerful minions defeated, it was finally time to join Tirion Fordring upon the top of Ice Crown and finally face the Lich King himself.
So, the Light's vaunted justice has finally arrived. Shall I lay down Frostmourne and throw myself at your mercy, Fordring?
We'll grant you a swift death, Arthas. More than can be said for the thousands you've tortured and slain.
Firsthand, when my work is complete, you will beg for mercy, and I will deny you. Your anguished cries will be testament to my unbridled power.
So be it. Champions, attack!
I'll keep you alive to witness the end. Fordring, I would not want the Light's greatest champion to miss seeing this wretched world remade in my image.
Tirion is placed within a block of ice, and heroes have to deal with the Lich King themselves. There seems to be a glimmer of hope on the horizon, though, as his health slowly drops, but then the Lich King, he unleashes the fury of Frostmourne, taking out all the heroes gathered.
Questions remain unanswered. No doubts linger. You are Azeroth's greatest champions. You overcame every challenge I laid before you. My mightiest servants have fallen before your relentless onslaught. Your unbridled fury. Is it truly right righteousness that drives you. I wonder. You trained them well, Fordring. You delivered the greatest fighting force this world has ever known. Right into my hands. Exactly as I intended. You shall be rewarded for your unwitting sacrifice. Watch now as I raise them from the dead to become masters of the Scourge. They will shroud this world in chaos and destruction. Azeroth's fall will come at their hands, and you will be the first to die.
Throughout the entire expansion, the Lich King has watched us, pitched us against the mightiest of foes, making sure that when the time was right, he would have the mightiest heroes the world had to offer, ready to be converted into his ranks. He might have won that day, might have recruited the most powerful heroes into his army, was it not for Tyrion and the Light's blessing.
Light, grant me one final blessing. Give me the strength to shatter these bonds.
No more lives will be consumed by your hatred!
Free, at last! It is over, my son. This is the moment of reckoning.
Rise up, champions of the light!
With one single strike, the Ashbringer shatters Frostmourne, and 1,000 vengeful souls are released, holding the Lich King high in the air. King Tyrannus resurrects the fallen heroes, and together they end the nightmare. Together they defeat the Lich King.
Now I stand, the lion before the lambs, and they do not fear.
Father, is it over?
At long last. No king rules forever, my son.
I see. Only darkness before me.
Control must be maintained. There must always be a Lich King.
Such a burden. It must be mine, for there is no other.
Tyrion! You hold a grim destiny in your hands, brother, but it is not your own.
Bolvar! By all that is holy,
the dragon's flame sealed my fate. The world of the living can no longer comfort me.
Thank you.
place the crown upon my head, Tyrion. Forevermore, I will be the jailer of the damned.
No, old friend. I cannot.
Do it, Tyrion! You and these brave heroes have your own destinies to fulfill. This last act of service is mine. I must be forgotten, Tyrion. If the world is to live free from the tyranny of fear, they must never know what was done here today.
And there ends the story of the Lich King. However, his actions still echo throughout the storyline to this day, and his legacy will not soon be forgotten. When you defeat the Lich King while holding Shadowmourne, you'll get a sealed chest, which High Lord Darion Mograine will open up for you, and inside there are some special items which you can turn in with the respective owners. These are the conversations that wrap up minor bits and pieces between Arthas and characters that were very important in the storyline, and a big thank you to Hey Shaman for letting me use his recordings.
Arthas. Alas, hero of Azeroth, you give me a greater gift than you know. Long have I struggled to forgive the prince for his terrible transgressions. My soul has been racked with unbearable anxiety, dark thoughts distancing me from the light. I recall clearly the gleam of pride in his eye as he stood before me, eager to defeat the enemies of the light. Eager to defend his people, no matter the cost. It is this memory of Arthas that I choose to keep in my heart. I shall always be in your debt, friend.
Uther's soul finds rest, and he decides to remember the good side of Arthas.
Oh, lad. How I miss those endless days in Lordaeron. Sharpening your skill with this dull blade. Forging you into a weapon meant to withstand the demands of a great destiny. You sure put them skills to use, didn't you, lad? If only I'd been able to stop you that day. How different things might have been. If only I'd have never discovered that accursed blade. Farewell, Arthas. My brother.
Myrddin wonders how things could have been different, and he decides to remember Arthas as his brother.
Father.
Darion, my son. At last, I am able to lay my eyes upon you again.
Father, I feared for your sanity.
The Lich King tormented me without end, Darion. Endlessly, he sought to break my will, to force me to serve him, to bind me to his blade. Finally, when events demanded his full attention, he left me. The one memory I clung to, Darion. The one thought that kept me from giving in. It was your sacrifice, my son, that again saved me from eternal peril.
Father, for you, I would give my life 1,000 times.
Alexandros Mograine's soul finally finds peace, and Darien, he would later show up in Draenor, searching for some way to liberate Bolvar out of his fate as Jailer of the Damned.
What's this? He kept it. All this time, he kept it. I knew. I sensed a part of him still alive, trapped, struggling. Oh, Arthas. Perhaps he might someday remember what he once was. By the light, may he at last find rest, free from the icy grip of that terrible blade.
Arthas kept a reminder of his love for Jaina, something she always knew deep down in her heart. She hopes that his spirits will find rest free from that accursed blade, but unfortunately, that's not what the future holds for Arthas.
So, it is done. I had not dared to trust my senses. Too many times has the Lich King made me to be a fool. Finally, he has been made to pay for the atrocities he imposed upon my people. May Azeroth never fail to remember the horrible price we paid for our weakness, for our pride. But what now, hero? What of those freed from his grasp, but still shackled to their mortal coils? Leave me. I have much to ponder.
Sylvanas would later travel back to the top of Icecrown, where she found out that Bolvar is the new Lich King, yet her purpose, her whole mission, was complete. She got the revenge that she desired, so she tossed herself off the top of Icecrown in an attempt to end her undead suffering. Instead of ending it though, she found herself in a whole new realm of suffering, a hell where the spirit of Arthas was being tormented as well. This would be her fate, but luckily for the Banshee Queen, the Valkyr, they came down and they offered her a deal. They would ally themselves with Sylvanas, they would take her place in hell in case she died, and they would resurrect more Forsaken troops to bolster their ranks. In exchange, they would be free from Bolvar's control, and knowing the hell and the torment that waits for her, Sylvanas agreed.
With the death of the Lich King, many of the more intelligent Scourge became unemployed. Those fiends, as you so delicately put it, are called Valkyr. They are under my command now. And they are part of the reason that I asked to see you.
Get on with it, Sylvanas!
Very well, War Chief. I have solved the plight of the Forsaken. As a race, we Forsaken are unable to procreate. With the aid of the Valkyr, we are now able to take the corpses of the fallen and create new Forsaken. Agatha, show the War Chief!
What you have done here, Sylvanas, it goes against the laws of nature. Disgusting is the only word I have to describe it.
War Chief, without these new Forsaken, my people would die out. Our hold upon Gilneas and Northern Lordaeron would crumble.
Have you given any thought to what this means, Sylvanas? What difference is there between you and the Lich King now?
Isn't it obvious, War Chief? I serve the Horde.
Watch your clever mouth, bitch!
The Lich King story ripples on throughout Warcraft even to this day, but for now, the story has come to an end. Thank you all so very much for watching and joining me on this incredible journey. This has been the biggest project that I've ever done, the biggest story I've ever told, and I hope I did it justice. As always, ladies and gentlemen, subscribe if you like my videos, leave a like if you enjoyed this one, and until next time, guys, see ya!
I look fine. Damn.
damn, I'm fine. You want a tank or a heal or deeps? You better get in line. In the fight, I bring the light. Hold my Ashbringer, cast those five lights. They call me number one, in the raid I get it done. Throw my shield out, taste my hammer, have some fun. Pwnage is my name, bringing skill into this game. Baby, now, come here lady, now show you what I'm about. Hold up, wait a minute, not while I am mythic raiding. I need the armor, epic armor. Get the loot that drops and me rolling right up. How you like my mount? How you like my mount? How you like my mount? How you like my mount?
Hey, where'd you get that epic from? Where'd you get that epic from? Where'd you get that epic from?
I got it from my palette. I got it from my palette. I got it, got it.
Hey, where'd you get that epic from?
I got it from my palette. I got it from my palette. I got it, got it.
Hey, where'd you get that epic from?
I got it from my palette. I got it from my it's my sensation. I do it so well, got my own animation. Are you impatient? Go on vacation. I'll match your DPS all while I'm taking. You know I bring the fire, I'm not even in gold shire. Make a moan, lady, I wanna take you home. You bring protection, and I'll bring retribution. Baby go,
Lord Marcus!
Oh hell no! Hold up, wait a minute, not while I am mythic raiding. I need the armor, epic armor. Get the loot that drops, send me rolling right up. How you like my mount? How you like my mount? How you like my mount? How you like my mount?
Hey, where'd you get that epic from? Where'd you get that epic from? Where'd you get that epic from?
I got it from my palette. I got it from my palette. I got it, got it.
Hey, where'd you get that epic from?
I got it from my palette. I got it from my palette. I got it, got it.
Hey, where'd you get that epic from?
I got it from my palette. I got it from my palette. Got it from my bad, I got it from my bad, I got it from my bad.
Hello, my name is Grant Nagus, and welcome to this week's look at some Legion content. Without spoilering, of course. So I am this week not going to talk about any artifact questlines. I would much rather talk about the entire way that we fight the Burning Legion, in the respect that we are going to have the class order halls. Although we have PvP and the Stormheim questline for one, which is the only PvP heavy, so to speak, zone that we know of so far. We have this overarching order halls, cross-faction way of fighting and uniting against the Burning Legion. And I think, to be quoting Rathion from back in the Pandaria questline, I think this is the only way to do it, since literally, even though his plan failed to crush the Horde and have Azeroth unite under one banner, in his ideal case, the Alliance, and thereby creating a united front against it. This didn't work, obviously, but still, the Order Halls are, I would say, the next best thing we can have, in that the Order Halls are bifactional, and it doesn't matter what faction your character is part of. You are the leader of the respective class order, and you unite as the player the entire class, be it Horde or Alliance. So we will stand united as a class to fight the coming Legion invasion. And I really like the idea, and I get the feeling from playing the various intro quest lines, if we want to call them that, the artifact acquisition quest lines and the precursors to those, even though no one of us has played the Broken Shore scenario yet, that we get the feeling, or at least I get the feeling, that it is a very fundamental thing that is going on here, and pretty much the only way, as in, I would say, the Elemental Shaman questline shows it most graphically in the challenge that you have to do for Zuen, where the, let me just see, the second challenge is all about teamwork, and this is what it's about. We have to work as a team to defeat the invasion and not be petty about what faction we are part of. Of course, there needs to be some identity, some faction identity, but the overall thing is about working together regardless of the faction. Alonso's Foul is another example, I might say, in that he was a human, is now a raised Forsaken, so he is bifactional in a way, in that he doesn't belong to the Horde and isn't under the influence of Sylvanas. And another thing is where it really shows that we have to work together is the Demon Hunter thing, where we have the two elven races that combined represent the entire Demon Hunter class. Some of them are Night Elves, some of them are Blood Elves, but together they are Demon Hunters. So I really, again, I'm repeating myself, but still, I really like the idea of a overarching goal that we have to fight. I really hope that Blizzard doesn't screw this up. And I really like what I've seen so far. There are a few things gameplay-wise that aren't to my liking, but again, that's a personal thing, and it's a thing that I can live with, and pretty much everyone, I think, could live with it, as long as the overarching implementation of the game works out well, and as long as they don't cut back on things for various reasons, like they did with Warlords of Draenor, where they cut back on content and on the implementation of certain things that would have been essential to the game, and in the way that the game is released and the content is being brought forth. I really hope that this is going to work better this time around with Legion. Again, we do not know this since it's in the future, but we can always hope for the best, and that's what I'll do. I just wanted to give you guys a little overview, a little food for thought for what you can expect as the most overarching content in the game, as I said, without spoiling. So this is the concept for Legion. Nothing I've said has been or has not been said before, well, except for a couple of names, but yeah, okay. The presentation that Blizzard did at Gamescom and BlizzCon, they presented most of what I said. I just wanted to give you my thoughts on the matter. So if you have any feedback, any suggestions, comments, questions, whatever, you can tweet me at GrandNegus1. You can write me an email at towerofcommerce@gmail.com. You can write into the show, corpserunradio@gmail.com. This has been Grand Negus, Rule of Acquisition, number 19. Satisfaction is not guaranteed. Bye, guys.
And that brings us to the end of episode 25. Thank you, Grand Negus. I hope that you've enjoyed your time with the Forsaken of Corpse Run Radio. If you'd like to join us and have an idea for a fun little segment all your own, or if you have a question for one of the hosts, or if you create Warcraft music or YouTube videos and would like to be featured on CRR, please send your audio or email to corpserunradio@gmail.com or message us on Twitter @corpserunradio. Contact information for our hosts is available at our website, along with the links to the songs and other audio heard in today's podcast. And that can be found at crr.podbean.com and also on iTunes, Stitcher, and Blueberry. Corpse Run Radio is a non-profit World of Warcraft fan podcast. All music and sound effects are used with permission and sometimes are edited for language or length. Great big thanks this month go out to Zarheim, World of Warcraft, Lita, Grand Negus, Asmongold, Novel 87, Wowhead, Doron's Movies, Slightly Impressive, Hiromara Dex, and the wonderful musical talents of Kesha and her friend Moon, Kavo350, the wonderful Rowan of Moonguard. And taking us out this episode is, of course, the Birthday Girl, with a song written by Jake Avellan called Always Gonna Heal You Up. And then Manny Berry. Big thanks to him and his crew. They'll take us out with Manny Shorts number 38, Illadelli.
I have no time for games.
Aw, come on, Sylvanas.
We're gonna play it. I just wanna tell you how
anybody here have the pre-order Legion mount?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. What's the mount called?
Illidelli. They make sandwiches.
Claim your wretched baby.
Spicy fell fire chicken.
You are not prepared for that spicy chicken.
You are not prepared.
So, who do we need? We need... Can you stop the hell crying, people? Just the beginning of Hellfire for the 600th time. Please, hell stop it. Wow, like, I didn't know crying could be so annoying.
Jay, move, forward, like, a step.
Yeah.
The cats don't cry.
Oh, we never invite
Frankie.
Ray. Oh, my God.
Frankie, please.
Oh, I know that voice.
Jesus. Yeah.
From my angle, looked like you were dying.
That's all right. I'm actually trying.
Oh,
my angle, he is dead.
This poor guy. What can we do to him?
We could always swap last him back into the rest of the group.
That's no. Have you raided with us before?
Sorry.
Can we glitch him? So- oh, is he- never mind. Hi, welcome back.
You guys are great.
Manny, come over here.
Sorry,
we're saving you.
A priest mass life would be broken as hell.
Sounds like something that could wipe a raid.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, you know, whatever. Fights like this, I can kill one person. It's not gonna, you know, really impede our progress. But, like, I'm not... I wouldn't, like...
How to Justify Murder by Kyogi.
Dude, that's triage.
That's not triage.
Shh. They don't know that.
Jesus. None of the Europeans have ever typed M8 to me. And Kyogi is the only one that did. That's how I knew that it wasn't one of them. Matey? Are you a pirate now?
You are.
You are.
The real hand if we had a druid heal right now.
No, I mean, it's not going to help the people that think that running away to Russia is better than going toward the healers. That's just a playstyle choice.
Dying? How is sub-changing in Legion?
You're a shadow warrior.
You actually, you get social anxiety, so you have to become invisible every few seconds. Get a repair mount, please.
Coming up.
Oh.
Me too. Jesus!
Yeah.
It also gives you a moonfire spam. Get it. Do what you want.
Talk to Jay.
I'm trying to wake her up.
Sorry, I'm still catching up on sleep. No, I just turned you guys up so that you can keep me awake better. Let's see this a bit.
Ow!
Yeah. I need to be awake. Oh, I'm not, like, jumping out of my skin.
You gotta sing the Metal Awkward theme song, man.
Nah, you just do it in the Cannibal Corpse would be better.
Oh, his is weird, though. They're like pig squeals. I can't do that too well. That's what they're called. They're called pig squeals.
Hello. Do one. Good.
Does he sound like those razor boars in that raid? Yeah.
I have to go kill 500 Mannies so I can get 4 hooves.
Just got to stack enough of that. I also have some feet with, like, speed on them. Because I put meth in my socks.
Why is he throwing the sword at the wall?
He already went to the window.
No.
Do me a favor.
Plane traffic?
Nah, dude, like, you see this purpose?
Jesus Christ. Jay!
Yes?
Making sure you're awake.
I was like, what did I throw off?
Mid-raid wake-up call.
I wonder what a
long clock would sound like.
It would be like a loop of my annoying laugh over and over and over again. It's on the diaphragm.
Big guy's back, Millie.
You ending it before the laugh ended and looping it. That was good. You gotta subscribe, my friend.
Yay! I mean...
Demon, you were way up
there. Yeah. Did you happen to take a picture of Pluto as you went past it?
Did they ever make up for that, or is this still not a planet?
I
It's a micro planet.
It's a dwarf planet. Dwarf. Makes sense.
Demon.
Oh, there that's why he went there.
That moment you go to heat up pizza and you accidentally put it in the refrigerator. They're right next to each other. The handles are literally like 4 inches away from each other.
Isn't one of them like significantly taller than the other one?
Yeah, you have like a super tiny fridge or a giant microwave?
Take a look at the candle lit on top of my helmet. You can see it straight on. When I turn to the side,
it's
one-dimensional. But when I turn backwards, you can't see it from the back.
These cost-cutting measures. Did you see the screenshot on the subreddit about how the Iron Horde was like 2D? Like that's Nintendo 64-ish. Let us give it a try. See how bad we get it.
Okay.
Oh, look at his dead body.
Failure
so
to launch.
No, he looks just fine.
Yep, time to RP walk back.
Is that the walk of shame?
That's the walk of you guys aren't looking to kill it anytime soon, so why should I help along?
I love how when the murderer gets murdered, he's like, oh, guys, we're not playing. I guess we're not playing now. We're not playing here.
Right.
I guess you don't want to kill the boss.
Become Creely?
I guess you're not playing. Yeah, please go. By the way, just because people are talking on TeamSpeak doesn't mean you can't pull. We should make that, unless like it's an important... I love this gun.
Thanks.
Oh, that was three. You helped up my pre-pot.
I'm sorry.
Because I pre-pot all the time.
I got my pre-pot off.
I pre-pot. I pre-pot.
I, like,
don't look at my luck.
I
don't want him to pull yet. Hold on. I got. So what we should do on this boss is just focus on not putting that shit where it's not supposed to be, and then you'll be okay.
You shadow step though.
I mean, that's not my fault, though. Oh, boy. He's going to the fuckboy parade in 4 minutes.
You, oh, God.
There.
Look at
someone
the pet.
Got it there.
Look at the what?
My pet.
How am I looking? Your left shark. You should go to the Elf Boy Parade. It's in 4 minutes. Get Emerlin back up, please. Elf!
Boy.
You toy with a power you cannot comprehend. Show up.